Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Agrotech Foods Limited Q1 FY19 earnings conference call hosted by Anand Rathi Shares and Stock. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Darshan Parekh from Anand Rathi Shares and Stock. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Janice. I welcome you all to Q1 FY19 earnings conference call for Agrotech Foods Limited. From the management, we have with us Mr. Sachin Gopal, Managing Director, and Mr. Arijit Datta, CFO. We shall begin with a brief on Q1 FY19 results, and after that, we'll have a Q&A session. I shall now hand over the call to Mr. Sachin Gopal. Over to you, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much, Darshan, and good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for taking out the time to join us today. We'll try and give you an overview of the results and then take questions if that's what I mentioned. Okay. So as you would have seen from the results, we had about a 7% growth in our overall revenues. Now, how that breaks up? In our edible oil business, we had a growth of about close to 6% in both volume and value, right? So the edible oil business grew by 6% in volume and also grew by 6% in value. I'll later give you the breakdown of this in terms of the different brands, right, and the source of growth therein. And in terms of our foods business, our total foods business, this grew by about 19% in volume and about 16% in revenue, right? So volume growth of 19% and revenue growth of 16%. How the edible oil business breaks up is roughly as follows. On the Sunrock business, on the Sunrock total business, we saw volume growth of about 7% for the quarter and value growth of about 4% for the same period, right? In the Crystal business, which is the more commodity end of the business, we saw volume growth of about 2% and a value growth of about 12%. Now, these are important figures in terms of the differences between the two. In terms of Crystal, it's a pure commodity play. So as and when the input oil prices increased, and that started with the increase in import duty first in the month of November and subsequently in the month of June, that's a straight pass-on of pricing. However, that did not work as that is not the same as far as the Sunrock edible oil business is concerned because that's more of an MRP-led business where the MRP dictates. So in that case, we also have to manage all the other elements in terms of anti-profiteering and pass-ons that we have to do, the benefits that we have to do. As we had mentioned, there was some impact of that in quarter one also on margin, and there was some impact in quarter four also on margin, and there was some impact in the current quarter also, right? So in the case of Sunrock edible oil, therefore, we didn't actually pass on a lot of the price increase. In fact, we didn't pass on very much of it at all. And as a consequence, the revenue growth was slower than the volume growth, right? Because bear in mind, the growth of the total Sunrock edible oils business is a function of how the premium edible oils perform and how the more mass-priced edible oils perform, right? Over time, we've been able to balance the volume attrition, if you will, of the premium oils, right? But however, in the last 12 months or so, that has been more difficult and therefore has had its attendant consequences on margin. In terms of the breakup of the food business, this is really how it breaks out. In the ready-to-cook business, that is Ag2 ready-to-cook business, we had a growth of about 11% in volume and a growth of about 5% in value, right? The volume growth has naturally been higher, and this has been true for the last three quarters as well, prior three quarters as well, because it also includes all the additional value that we gave by way of additional product as a consequence of all the post-GST changes, right? However, I think you can expect to see some change, meaning some closing of the gap, right, in terms of in this future quarter, starting, in fact, what's it called? Starting, in fact, quarter two, you can expect to see some variation, some changes in this. That doesn't necessarily mean that the ready-to-cook business will grow at 11%. It just means the gap will close, and hopefully, I think that should get reflected as far as quarter two when we do our quarter two call is concerned. In terms of Ag2, in terms of the ready-to-eat business, that grew by a very healthy 89% in volume and 62% in value. So I think we are pretty much approaching that inflection point now, right? It's starting to gain momentum. And as we give you the breakdown of that by category, you'll understand why I'm saying what I'm saying. When you break down the Ag2 ready-to-eat business, that basically has three elements today. popcorn business, the naturals business, and the extruded snacks business, right? Popcorn was really obviously the fastest growing. We had a growth of about 240% in volume, right? So the index on volume on popcorn was about 3.4 times, and we had about a 330% index on value, right? So both very close to each other. In other words, that represents about a 230% growth. So clearly, I think we are getting our act together as we establishing multiple plants, getting scale in each of the plants, improving our offerings, reducing freight, which has also come down now to a good level. It's seeing disproportionate growth. After ready-to-eat popcorn, the next fastest growing category within the snacks business was our naturals business. We are extremely well positioned, as we mentioned, in the naturals business because our cost structure is really very, very efficient. And as a significant national player, but with a very, very effective cost structure, I think we are well placed to capture probably what is a lot of natural growth in the corn chips category, because, consumers certainly see it as a better option as compared to, say, potato chips. So in the naturals category, we saw volume growth of about 65% for the quarter, and we saw revenue growth of about 28%. Again, as in the case of some of the, let's say, the ready-to-cook popcorn business, where you saw a disproportionate difference between volume and value, this also reflects the fact that post-GST, we passed on a lot of pricing benefits on naturals, and that made sense for us, right? Because we've got a lot of food capacity, and it made sense for us to pass on the benefits and, leverage those food capacities better, and that certainly paid off in terms of the volume growth and the operating leverage that we are getting. And within the category, the lowest performance was of the extruded snacks business. That grew by about 120% in volume, but in revenue it is virtually flat versus prior year same quarter, right? So that covers off most of the consumer side of the business other than peanut butter. Peanut butter continued to perform extremely well. We saw 71% growth in volume and a 44% growth in revenue, right? So as you know, we had a very, very good growth in peanut butter last year. It continues to do well. I think we would continue to expect good growth from this category. And we're obviously in a strong position. I think our price value proposition to the consumer is well settled. So despite the fact that there's a reasonable amount of competitive activity and a lot of players, we don't buy retail audit, but I would suspect that our share has probably increased over the last few quarters, right? But that's a management assessment. We don't have data to back that up. But otherwise, we would not be seeing such disproportionate growth in volume and therefore as a consequence in value as well. The only two other pieces which we can now cover off, which are more in the nature of commodities, if you will. One is the vending business, which is, the B2B business, if you will. That was actually lower than prior year. So it was probably in the region of about, about 40 to 50% lower than what the prior year is. It's a business we are not spending too much energy on. And at some point in time, its dilutive impact on our growth will disappear. And that time is, I would say, pretty soon, right? Contextually, the food growth of 16% is fairly similar to what we recorded last year. If you exclude the tax-exempt channels, and this is really the last quarter where we'll refer to the tax-exempt channels because starting 1st July, the base is comparable, right? So from quarter two onwards in our investor calls, we will not be talking about it, right? Because it's like for like. After that, it's business as usual. Whatever it is, there'll always be some ups and downs. But for comparative purposes, our sales in the tax-exempt channels were again north of 20%, right? So this is similar to what we told you last quarter and what we told you in the investor meet in November and what is on the way, right? So I think that pretty much covers off, yes, everything other than I would say we also have made an entry, as you know, in a limited way into Indian snacks with peanuts and peas. That business also is starting to take shape, and in terms of revenue, it was up about, in terms of volume, it was up about 120%, and in terms of revenue, it was up about 160%. So overall, I think food business showing strong growth. Everything is looking good. We're gaining leverage, probably getting close to the inflection point, at least on some of the categories like ready-to-eat popcorn. I think naturals already seems to be well-established, and we seem to be on a good track momentum. Still to address the challenges in extruded snacks, but I would believe we are getting there in terms of, as we gain experience in the category. In terms of the next lines of the P&L, as you can see, the margin has clearly came under compression in this quarter, as it happened in quarter four as well. And that is largely due to the fact that we have absorbed all the oil price increases that, you know, all the oil costs that happened over the period starting November and through till June. However, we are getting to the end of that cycle now, because starting 1st July, everything is going to be more or less comparable, right? So I would say, we were able to mitigate largely the impact of this cost absorption that we did from a P&L perspective. You can see that we were able to mitigate the expenses, a part of it is A&P, but there are other areas of expenses as well. Most of it seem to be reasonably well controlled, and therefore ended pretty much on a flat basis as far as both profit before tax is concerned and profit after tax is concerned. I have just one other important point to make as far as the P&L is concerned, which is that you will note in the comments of the auditors that as a consequence of the implementation of Ind AS, in our P&L, about 139 lakhs has been moved from other expenses, a large part of it is, I think, A&P, right, into being deducted from net sales, right? Now, this is an area which our auditors are also studying in terms of what's the best way to approach it. They have done some reclassification of whatever they understood to be the best way to do it for quarter one. We are also learning, we are understanding how other companies are also doing it. And as we understand it, we'll keep you posted on this, right? At this point in time, all our individual category growth figures are still corresponding to the older definition, because that's what we have in the reporting. As we understand it, I think by the end of the year, we'll give you the context of how much has been reclassed. And then starting in next year's commentary, we'll be able to restate the growth figures by each of the lines that we comment on to you. You'll have it. We'll give you a perspective on that. I think broadly, we have covered off most of the points. In terms of new products, you would have seen in the market that basically we've introduced three sets of products in the last 6 odd months, 6 to 8 months. About 3 months ago, we sold off peanut butter and jelly. It's doing outstandingly well. We simply can't supply enough into the market. That's a really good product. I would rate our peanut butter and jelly as amongst the best in the world. You do get some of it in the US and you do get some of it out of China, but honestly, there's nothing probably as good as what we're selling today. So if you have an opportunity, please do buy it and try it, right? So it's a great product. I think it's in line with our philosophy that innovation will drive growth, and it's certainly contributing to that. The other successful launch, I would say, is Cacto Caramel Bliss. That's at the top end of the ready-to-eat popcorn market. We're starting to get our scale, our act together as far as the bottom, the mass market end is concerned, which is the 5 rupees product. But as we all know, there is no long-term money in 5 rupees, right? The money is going to come from the more expensive premium end, right, where you're selling at, let's say, 500, 600 rupees a kilo. I think Caramel Bliss is a very good example of that. The product is helping. So the whole portfolio therefore is starting to get nicely balanced. You're going to start having the premium side which will deliver margin, and then you have the mass side which will give you scale and give you the right cost structure. And the third new product launch is the launch of Diet Pop. As you're aware, we've talked about it earlier that, the healthy area, the area of healthy snacks is certainly a area which will grow in India. And our endeavor therefore is that we will have an adequate space, capture the adequate space within it. Diet Pop is one example of that. There'll be others in the future, right? So that we are able to say, okay, we are able to meet the needs of consumers who are looking for healthier alternatives. The Diet Pop range is currently available both in instant popcorn, microwave popcorn, and ready-to-eat snacks. And it's early days, but that's also gaining traction, right? So that's three new products. As you can see, most of them, targeted towards the premium end. You'll see more of that coming through for us, because as we want to increase gross margin over a period of time, doing it through 5 rupee products is not going to be the answer, right? Because those will always come under cost pressure and cost inflation. The answer is also to be able to do it through premiumization. So as we talk more about it and enter categories with higher margin potential or segments with higher margin potential, you'll start to see the impact of the P&L on that also. All right, I think, Arijit, is there anything else I've not covered that I need to make a mention of?
I think we covered it.
Right. Okay, so, Darshan, I think that's it from our side. Over to you, Bhatta.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Sanjay Latha from Perfect One. Please go ahead.
So for the ready-to-cook popcorn segment, we saw sales growth for financial 18 at 1% and volume growth at 4%. What is the potential market size for the same in India, as our sales in the segment are not growing as fast as before, and what is our outlook for this segment?
Okay, thanks, Jalata. Is there any other question just so that we can take them all together?
So what is the potential market size in India for nachos and peanut butter and current market share for the same? And
okay, anything else? That's it?
In the last call, we had announced to launch a two new guests. Can we get any update on the same, so if possible, how the strategy is going forward? What is our outlook for the same?
Sure. Okay. Thanks, Jalata. So I think our outlook for ready-to-cook popcorn is clear. It is a category with enormous potential. Okay. Now, having said that, there are a few differences between ready-to-cook popcorn and ready-to-eat snacks. Right. Mm-hmm. The first is the potential innovation that you can deliver on ready-to-eat snacks. Right. By nature of the vehicle, by nature of the platform, is significantly greater than you can achieve on ready-to-cook popcorn. As a consequence of that, a lot of the growth that we have to deliver on ready-to-cook popcorn has to be more distribution-led through acquisition of new consumers, right? Let's say the ready-to-cook popcorn business is worth about 120 crores to us. Certainly its potential should be in the region of, 250 to 300 crores, right? That should be. However, for that, we will need to increase our distribution also significantly. Distribution has a cost attached to it. So in the period that we are able to generate the funds to be able to invest behind distribution expansion, we have certainly done it. That has happened last year also, right? If you see the growth of ready-to-cook popcorn, it was relatively muted last year, primarily due to the fact that our tax-exempt channels saw a lot of disturbance, right? So if you exclude that, I think the growth would have been in the region of about 8 to 10%, right? And that is what we have been growing at, right? So there is therefore that one difference between ready-to-eat and ready-to-cook. Ready-to-cook requires a lot of lot more innovation. It's more difficult to deliver. In ready-to-eat, on the other hand, innovation is much easier to deliver, right? So going forward, we will continue to invest, right? However, probably in the short term, ready-to-eat snacks will see disproportionate growth, much faster than, let's say, ready-to-cook, right? We are already dealing in a variety of products that we weren't dealing with earlier. Ready-to-eat popcorn, extruded snacks, and nachos, right? Now, all of three are new, relatively new to us, and the business models are in the process of being formulated. As and when they start getting clear, they see disproportionate growth. Nachos saw growth from day one, right? And I'll come to the potential category size of nachos. But ready-to-eat popcorn is seeing disproportionate growth right now. Albeit of a very small base, right? But it shows at least that we are getting our act together. And the same thing will happen with extruded snacks. Now, coming to potential market sizes, the sky is the limit. But obviously, we would believe that each one of these categories should be worth at least 100 crores to us. We didn't set up the peanut butter plant to do a business of 20 crores, right? At the point that we set up the plant, our turnover was probably about 8 to 9 crores, right? Last year, if you recall, we were somewhere between 40 to 45 crores. And let's see how we end this year. But clearly, we have got a very significant growth rate already in the first quarter, right? So probably we are looking at a number anywhere in the region of 50 to 60 crores, right? So peanut butter will definitely track towards that. And obviously, there we have a reasonable, strong presence. I can't give you a market share again because we don't subscribe to retail audit data, but I can say that we will be in a strong position. Perhaps if you just walk into a store and, you know, have a look at the number of facings that we have versus competition, you'll get a fair idea of the good, solid progress that we made in this category. As far as nachos is concerned, our share is weaker. I think I've given a figure perhaps in the annual report for management estimate. I think it's in, we've estimated it to be about 25%. Could be a little less, could be a little more because we don't buy data. But there are basically three players now in the large players in the tortilla chips market. One is Cornitos, who was the original person who developed the category in India. The second is Doritos, which is supplied by Frito-Lay. And the third is us, where, you know, we have launched our own product, probably around the same time as Doritos. What are the shares of Cornitos and Doritos? I won't be able to comment on because we don't really have a very good estimate of that, right? But sure, for sure, even the tortilla chips category will be progressing rapidly towards the 100 crore mark, right? So will our business be 100 crores in the next year or two? Probably not. But is it tracking towards probably being? The answer is yes. In most developed markets, actually, tortilla chips is equal to or greater than the popcorn category, right? I think I've made a mention about it some many calls ago. We check data from the U.K. and we check data from the U.S., right? So these are good categories with lot of solid growth momentum, internal growth momentum, which is very important for us because it means with innovation, with the right cost structure, we can actually capture a fair share of growth, okay? As far as our last call is concerned, I would have mentioned because at that point in time, we hadn't launched peanut butter, and you also would not have seen, you would have just started seeing Diet Pop at that point in time. Those are the two products that I talked about right now, right? So peanut butter and jelly is there. It's doing well. Have a look at it in the market. It's world-class packaging. It's fantastic execution. And I think the initial response has been, to be honest, overwhelming. And ditto for Diet Pop. It's doing well as a category. It's obviously a different proposition. It's not in the area of indulgence. It's more in the area of health, right? But if you recall, we've talked about this earlier, and you'll find it in earlier calls. We've said we'll capture or address both the health and the indulgence categories. We're not going to be saying, okay, we're going to only sell healthy foods. That's not the answer to build a great business. At the same time, you can't only address indulgence. You have to address health as well. So the portfolio that you are seeing developing is addressing both of those segments, okay? Thank you, Jalata. Good, good question. Thank you. Appreciate it. Madam, over to you.
Mr. Latha, are you done with your question?
Yeah, we're done, Latha. Thank you. We can go to the next question.
Sure. Thank you very much. Before we take the next question, I would like to remind all participants to please limit your question to two per participant. You may come back in the question queue if you have a follow-up. We take the next question from the line of Anuj Gupta from Perfect Research. Please go ahead. Mr. Anuj Gupta, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead with your question. As there seems no response from the current participant, we take the next question from the line of Sameer Gupta from India Infoline. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. This is Percy here. And I just wanted to take the opportunity of this call to just understand the historic perspective and whether the numbers that I have are right from a historic point of view. So this FY18, we did a top line of 197 crores in the foods business, all put together, including peanut butter and bagged snacks and vending, etc., everything put together. That, I think, is given in your annual report. Just wanted to run these figures by you. So FY17, 177 crores, FY16, 171 crores, and FY15 also 171 crores. Are these numbers correct? And again, if I break this up further, the peanut butter in FY15 was 18, going up to 23, then 27, and now 45. So just wanted to understand if the numbers in my model are correct or not.
Okay, and what's the second question, Percy?
So second question, if at all, will just be a follow-up based on this answer. No other questions I have.
Okay, so we'll take this one then, okay? All right. So first of all, Percy, I'm sure you're a better historian than I am, so yeah. All right. I'll be able to give you an immediate, you know, answer on the current numbers, right? So yes, you're absolutely right. Our food business in FY18 was about 197 crores. I think it was 196.5 to be precise. And that was about 16-odd% growth over the prior year. The prior year figure, if I remember, was closer to about 171 crores, right? And the prior year before that was also 171 or close to that, because between those 2 years, we saw a significant decline in the vending business, which got offset by a continued strong growth in the consumer food business. Okay. So 197 is the number for last year, and I think the breakup of that I've already given in the call, right? In terms of I think peanut butter was about 42 crores, and I've given that breakup at several points in time, right? To give you a perspective on where it is today, our foods business, total foods business, including everything, was about 49 crores for the first quarter of this year. Okay, so, and that in turn is about 16% up versus prior year. So that means last year would have been about 42 crores for the same period. Okay, what else can I tell you? I can tell you that yes, the growth rates of peanut butter obviously were strong last year. They were better than the prior year. And clearly the one which is now showing a very, very different trend is ready-to-eat popcorn. Nachos growth rate both running similar, Percy, to where they were. And probably I think both nachos and ready-to-eat popcorn now tracking to be somewhere between 15 and 20 crores for the current year. That's kind of the current run rate. But obviously when we do the half year, we'll be in a better position to tell you where we stand. Okay?
The reason why I'm asking this, sir, is if I remove peanut butter but keep all your other businesses, all your other types of snacks, then as per the numbers I have, in FY13, your sales was 130 crores in FY13, and this has gone up to 150 crores in FY18. So over a 5-year period in the snacks business, excluding peanut butter, you've added only 20 crores of revenues. And I was just looking at my model from 4 years back. My estimates for FY18 for your entire foods business, including peanut butter, was somewhere around 400 crores. So something has not clicked. I mean, I understand when we look at it on a quarter-to-quarter basis, the growth numbers seem healthy. But when we look at it on a 4-5 year basis, there really hasn't been any significant growth.
Okay. So I'll treat that as the second question then, Prasi, right? To be fair. So, you know, I won't be able to answer your projection because obviously those are internal to you, right? Having said that, I can say yes, it's at a broad level and a high level, there's nothing inconsistent in what you're saying. We've seen disproportionate growth in peanut butter in the last 2 years. Peanut butter, however, was not such a big contributor earlier because remember, the business was a lot smaller. Similarly, in the snacks business, you're seeing faster growth now and last year. And the reason for that is that we are starting to get our act together as far as the bag snacks business is concerned, right? So the growth rates on ready-to-cook popcorn have probably been in the single digit over this period, right? However, it is the bag snacks which drove the growth last year and which actually is driving the growth right now, right? So I would say those are the two main components. If you want my comments on how would you model, I would rate it as saying model it in, you know, model it, put a certain growth for peanut butter going forward, put a certain fairly, and you know, you can use history as an indicator and, you know, obviously apply judgment because as categories become larger, it's more difficult to sustain higher growth rates. Put fairly aggressive growth rates on bag snacks, right? Because, you know, the proof of the pudding is in the eating, right? We're growing at very, very, very good rates. Revenue growth on Act 2 was about 62%, on the Indian snacks was 162%. So probably we're already growing at 70 to 80. But that is not very high in the sense the market is very large, right? So once we get our act together, these growth rates could be in anything. It all depends on how the business model pans out. And I would be more conservative on the ready-to-cook popcorn business. If you go through all the last 4 to 6 calls, you'll have an idea of what we've been growing. Look at what our history is and, you know, apply some judgment on that. I think that will give you a reasonably good indicator. Okay?
Okay, sir. Thanks. Thanks. That's all from me.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of P.V. Bajaj from Bajaj Shares. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon and thanks for giving opportunity to put the questions on Q1 of 18-19. Sir, if you go to the finances, I have only two questions, sir. The finance of Q1 is almost 10% down to Q4 of last year. Even margins have fallen by 15%. Earning per share also has gone down to 2.79 from 3.22. So it is Q4 of last year to Q1. If you just recollect the earlier analyst who has asked for the last 4 years, the stagnation is there. If you just see the quarter on quarter of 17-18 and 16-17 all are stagnant, means same figures are there. So is it the reason that oil business has put you in this quarter down? That is one thing. Second thing is, in your SWOT analysis, you have projected the customer's interest as option as healthy food and premium options. So then how will you compete with other brands in your categories in food items? These two, please. Please. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Mr. Bajaj. So we'll answer your question. On your first question, what we do in our industry, say unlike the automobile industry, which often works on a sequential basis, all our commentary is based on a quarter to prior year basis, right?
Yeah.
So, and that is generally true for the consumer goods industry. So all our commentary, and you will see this consistently, is against prior year same quarter. Okay, so because on a quarter to quarter basis, there will be many things factors. There could be weather, there could be good weather, there could be worse weather, winter, summer, monsoon, all of those pieces, right? So that is the reason why our commentary will always be on a quarter and quarter, for which we have already provided you all the relevant details in terms of volume and value growth for each of the areas. In terms of our analysis, the SWOT analysis that you mentioned, this is exactly consistent with what we said just now. That we have said that we will target both segments. We will target healthy foods and we will target premium indulgent foods, right? Why do we need to do both of these? Because they are different needs. That doesn't mean that they are different consumers necessarily. I as a consumer may be seeking a healthy option at one occasion and I might be happy for an indulgent option on another occasion. But they do satisfy two different consumer needs, right? So what we are doing therefore, and you see, for example, of the three new products that we have mentioned, right? Peanut butter and jelly is clearly a nice indulgent option, right? Peanut butter per se is a very healthy option, but peanut butter and jelly is saying, hey, you know what? The taste of this product is absolutely awesome, right? Plus, I'm getting the benefit of peanut butter, which is a healthy thing. Similarly, caramel bliss. Caramel bliss is pure indulgence, right? As a consumer, I want to have the best possible caramel popcorn, and by the way, Actu's got it. So that's not, if somebody is looking for a healthy version of popcorn, it's not going to be caramel bliss. But by the way, if that same somebody on another occasion is looking for a healthy version, he can say, okay, let me go for diet pop because that's zero added fat. I get a benefit of zero added fat. Zero added fat is a brilliant proposition, right? Because on an average, most snacks have between a 28 and a 30% fat content. So fat content is a very important component in this whole, in the whole snacks business. If we are able to offer a zero added fat, right, which means basically there's virtually no fat, right, the only fat is whatever is naturally there in popcorn kernels, it's an excellent offering, right? So absolutely right. Thank you both. Very good questions. And I think that's pretty much our approach. Okay. So thank you, Mr. Bajaj. And Lata, what's the next question?
Second question only, sir.
Now, Mr. Bajaj, we'll come back to you in the queue, please, sir. We'll come back to you in the queue. These are the
healthy options only, sir.
Mr. Bajaj, may I please request you to join the queue? Thank you very much. Next question is from the line of Shailesh Kumar from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I have got a couple of questions. First thing is, I will request you to provide me some understanding why we have only grown in, say, lower single digit, like 3-3.5% in last 3-4 years. And second thing, where do we see our margin stabilizing? I mean, stable growth level, what kind of margin?
We have the management reconnected to the conference. So you may please go ahead. We have Mr. Shailesh Kumar from Sunidhi Securities online. Please go ahead.
Hi, Shailesh. Sorry, we got disconnected. So all yours. Over to you.
Yeah. Sir, I just wanted your view. I mean, why we have been able to grow in low single digit, like 3-3.5% in last 3-4 years? I mean, was it due to category constraint or something related to the company? And second thing, say FY19 onwards, how do you see our margin panning out?
Okay, so your first question, Shailesh, is around the growth rate, and the second question is on margin, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Good. Thanks. So I'll answer both of them. Suresh, contextually to understand our company in terms of the growth rate, you need to see what is the growth of our foods business, which is the future of the business, and what is happening on the oils business. We have always said that the basic role of the edible oil business is to be able to fund the growth of the company in terms of the investments that we are making on the foods business. So if you see, over the last 5-6 years, we made a fairly significant capital expenditure program, right, of between 125-150 odd crores. And all of that was self-funded by the accruals, and those accruals were really driven by the edible oil business, right? So the role of the edible oil business is clear. It is to provide the company adequate margin for us to invest in the business of the future, because in any transformation, you will have to invest in the business of the future while you will take away from the business of the past, right? So the critical thing for us is, what is the growth of the food business, and are we growing that rapidly enough? Because at some point in time, that inflection point will come where the profitability from the foods business will be greater than the profitability of the edible oil business, right? At that point in time, is where the, if you will, equivalent effect of the knife happens, right? Which is that because your foods business is growing at 20-25%, even if the edible oil business is flat or declining, it hasn't really declined, it's been flat or growing in very low single digits, right? Growth or the improvement in margin after that is disproportionate, right? So right now, we have made a long journey, right? If you see, our foods business last year was about 25% of our total turnover. It was about, 1 or 2% of our turnover about 8 years, 10 years ago. And we are steadily climbing towards a situation where the foods will be the largest part of our business, right? So I think those are the growth rates that are relevant, which is why even in the call, we are sharing with you the growth rates of the foods business, the oil business, and within the foods business of the different line items, if you will, so that it provides you context on what is happening. As far as your second question is concerned in margin, we don't give any forward statements, right? So we won't be able to give you a perspective on saying, we think the margin for quarter 2, quarter 3, quarter 4 is going to be X or Y. The answer to that is no. We won't be able to provide you with that. What we can provide you with is to provide you a context on margin per se, right? So as we've said, and we said it I think in the last quarter as well, and we said it in this quarter, I'm saying this, is that we have seen some amount of compression on margin, and that's been largely due to the fact that we absorbed almost entirely all the edible oil cost increases that happened, because we also needed to ensure that we are absolutely in the clear as far as all our anti-profiteering commitments to the government are concerned, right? Now, for us as a company, the service tax component of the GST benefit was fairly large, right? So unlike, let's say, if tax rates change, it doesn't really matter, because volume on the same tax rate or a different tax rate is absolutely equal, so there's no problem. But service tax is driven by a lot of other functions, right? It's driven by, let's say, if you do a capital expenditure, you're getting the benefit of that capital, right? It could be on the timing of when you spend advertising money, when you get the benefit, all of those pieces, right? So that has certainly had some impact on quarter four and also some impact on quarter one. Going forward, as I said earlier, as far as the next four quarters are concerned, GST will be to a large extent included in our base, right? And that will be all aspects of GST. Not all, but most, let's say. So, for example, one aspect of GST would be that in the tax-exempt channels, we saw a fairly significant decline in our business last year, right? However, that's already now factored kind of in the base, right? Similarly, we passed on greater benefits. We did MRP reduction. We did extra fill. To a large extent, those are captured. Though we may have increased those as the year went by, they are, at least from a starting point, they are captured, right? So that is why I made a mention that starting next quarter, we will not be giving you sales of foods and with tax and non-tax exempt channel. We'll give you a total, right? And whatever it is, that's the business that we are running at this point in time. Suffice it to say, at a very broad margin comment level, our margin has two components. There is the margin on edible oils, right, which is impacted by what price they're selling at, what is the cost of the product, right? And therefore, that is the one which has slightly been more, erratic in the last two quarters. And then there is the food business, on which we make a reasonably steady margin. And that's the business that is growing. Okay? So, if you want to understand the company and what our perspective, just stay tuned in on what's happening on the food business, and I think that will give you a natural idea of how the margin is going to play out. Okay? Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Vivek Kumar from Bestpal Advisory. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sachinji.
I'm sorry, your first name?
Vivek Kumar.
Vivek. Okay, please go ahead.
So my question is regarding, see, if we as a company, if we have to grow from 800 crores to, let's say, we are dependent on foods business, and in foods we are disproportionately dependent on, let's say, bad snacks and peanut butter. Yeah, so my questions are from this perspective. So I would like to understand your naturals and our tea business model. When I say naturals, like, you know, it hinted in the, I'll tell all the questions together, so 1, 2, 3, so that we can. So in your naturals, you said you had a cost advantage. Can you explain more regarding what would be that cost advantage? Why will others not be able to do it given the kind of resources at their end? That is my first question. Two is, there, what is your business model in terms of distribution in natural? How much have you penetrated? How much do you think, and what would it take for us to, as how much, how many years will it take for us to go and penetrate all the channels that we can do for the naturals? And third is, are we doing any customer, I don't know, I'm asking from a customer point of view, like, how, let's say, how do you understand what customer is liking and not liking, and understand the differences between other tortilla chips in the market, and how are we making continuous updates and that kind of a thing in naturals? So these are my three questions in naturals. And RP also is the same. What is our distribution as of now? How far we can go? Because we are disproportionately dependent on these two segments for us to grow. And capacity utilization in your total foods business. These are my overall questions.
And I feel, I think there are really two questions that you have. One is related to naturals, so I'll cover that off in terms of both the cost advantage and what is the business model in terms of distribution expansion, right? And your second question is related to, you know, I guess, what is customer feedback, right?
So when I say that, it's the same thing in the naturals. My second question is more about what is our, what do you say, the same thing in the RP, like the ready-to-eat popcorn also, if you can throw the same light as your naturals on what is our distribution, what like the same questions in both the segments, and our post business capacity, and what capacity are we operating in our post business?
All right, we'll do that. Okay, so I'm not going to be able to tell you, and I can tell you, but I'm not going to state it. And what is our cost advantage? Correct. The thing or the reasons for it, right? Because clearly, cost advantage gets built up with a more agile manufacturing unit. It's a function of how much capital you are deploying. It's a function of what your production costs are, and it's a function of trade, which is your go-to-market, right? So I'm not going to spell it out because, you know, that is, if you will, information that should not be in the public domain. What you can validate, and this is fairly easy to do, is check the pricing of our tortilla chips versus other tortilla chips in the market, right? So you can say, okay, management said that they are far more cost-effective than other potato chips. Let me have a look at the pricing of, say, Doritos and Cornitos, right? Look at it at different price points in the market, and you'll find, yes, that if you are able to sell it with a half-decent margin, then clearly we are better in terms of cost advantage, right?
Others can't replicate. It's not today. Tomorrow, can't find out what advantage you have. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but then I'll answer the question, and after, sorry, but you'll have to come to the back of the queue, okay? Apologies for that, all right? Okay? So, historically, I have to tell you that cost advantages come from multiple sources, right? So, for example, you could argue that actually the lowest cost manufacturers in India are the manufacturers of Indian snacks, right? Because they are people who've been at it for 40, 50 years, and as you get scale, you are at it for longer, you uncover business secrets, if you will, right, which allow you to produce at a lower cost. The more later the entrant you are, the likely higher cost, because you won't have understood many of those dimensions, right? So in every business, it takes time. For us also, it's taking time. Now, clearly the fact that we are able to sell even ready-to-eat popcorn very, very successfully now, and any modern trade store you go to, you'll see we have a very, very strong presence, right? It's because we are starting to get our act together. But can you get it all together in 6 months or 1 year? Clearly the answer is no, because there are many areas of it which you will not understand initially. Okay? In terms of the business model, in terms of coverage, that's a very important point, and I'll spend a little time on that. You see, when we started our journey, we had a coverage of about 60,000 stores. Today we have reached about 400,000 stores. Now that's a fairly long and fairly good progress. Of course, I've said also in the annual report that our goal is about 1 million stores. But of course, that costs money as well. But the beauty of now of where we are sitting is that when we had to build ready-to-cook popcorn, we had to build ready-to-cook popcorn along with investing in continued distribution expansion. So let's say initially ready-to-eat cook popcorn was in 40,000 stores. We had to build the entire 4 lakh stores along with ready-to-cook popcorn. Now, fortunately, we are not in that position. So, for example, we don't actually have to spend on more distribution of peanut butter, right? That's relevant from an investor standpoint because let's assume we were in peanut butter initially in 25,000 stores. To get to 1 lakh stores didn't need us to add more people, right? Which is kind of that story which is true for companies which have been older in the FMCG space than us. And I'm not talking about edible oil, because edible oil distribution is extremely restricted. You know, probably it's about 50, 60,000 stores relevant for the premium end of the segment. But broadly, for all other companies, they already had a coverage of 500,000 to 1 million stores. So your ability to roll out more products without incrementally spending on distribution is fairly significant. We are now happily getting into that space where we are saying, okay, we've got 4 lakh stores. Obviously, we'd like to keep growing them. But within the 4 lakh stores, how much faster can we grow peanut butter? How much faster can we grow nachos? How much can we grow ready-to-cook, eat popcorn? These are very relevant questions for us. And a lot of that is to do with product portfolio. So let me give you an example, nachos. Can you realistically get a 4 lakh distribution of nachos with a 20 rupees or a 30 rupees pack? Probably the answer is no, right? Because you may have the distribution capability, but if a product is not servicing the consumer who is going to buy it from that store, that capability is worthless, right? So, for example, you can say, okay, but if I have a 10 rupee packet of nachos, can I then look for more stores? The answer is yes. Will that also be 4 lakh? Not necessarily. But let's say if you have nachos distribution of the larger packs of 70 to 80,000 stores, you can say, yeah, I think probably 2 lakh stores maybe or 1.5 to 2 lakh stores I can target with the 10 rupee pack. So those are the kind of choices that we are making. We've actually launched a 10 rupee packet of nachos, right? And it's, you know, we're seeding it, we're watching how it's going. And that's how the growth is coming. Otherwise, you would not see these kind of growths either. Okay, so that's the one important question in terms of the business model. I think on your second question on what are the consumer insights, we don't buy a lot of data. However, what we do is we have two sources of how we understand what consumers are doing. The first source is all our home visits, right? So we do hundreds of home visits in a year. Home visits are very effective because, you can go with your products, you can talk to consumers, they don't cost very much money because normally you just, you know, need to give a gift to the consumer, you know, so that he or she talks to you about your products, about the category, and you get a lot of interesting ideas. The second source of free, if you will, insights, right, is the internet, right? You need to be watchful of what is happening in the market, right? And by that I mean not only the Indian market, but you can look at any market today, right? Today you can look at what are the trends in the US market. You say, well, you know what? The US is moving towards protein. Protein is a big trend today in the US, right? And protein, by the way, is what we are also leveraging as far as peanut butter is concerned. So there's a lot of free information if you are watchful. And by the way, that's available as much to you as it is to us. And you know, you're all much brighter than we are, I'm sure. So you'll also be able to capture those insights. So when we say indulgence, when we say healthy products, those are for real. Those are evident to everybody in the trade. All you need to do is log on to Amazon in India, log on to Amazon in the US, and you'll see it's all happening. That's how most entrepreneurs would be able to do it today. Huh? Okay? So I think, Vivek, I hope I answered your two questions suitably, and you know, yes.
In the ready-to-eat popcorn, because these two are the categories which were dependent for our foods growth, right? So I'm just trying to understand, even ready-to-popcorn, how much are we as of now penetrated in terms of distribution, and if you can share the same kind of things in ready-to-eat popcorn?
Just to be consistent, Vivek, so I apologize if I'm not, my intention is not to be rude, but just to be consistent, can I tell Laka that we'll take you later, because otherwise I would be applying different strokes for different
strokes. Food capacity is at 40, still we are at 40-45%.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. let me answer it. Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you, Vivek. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, I would like to remind all participants again, please limit your question to 2 per participant as we have people waiting for their turn. Next question is from the line of Manoj Dua from Geometric Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. As the last participant, actually, we are disproportionately dependent on ready to all the snacks and peanut butter. Can you throw some light on the ready to eat cook popcorn? It is not growing as much we require in terms of value. Can you throw some light on it? That's the first question. And second question is similarly on that, how much we can grow in this ready to cook popcorn, and where, what's the our strategy to increase that thing? Thank you.
Okay, Manoj, sorry, may I request a clarification, if you will? Your first question is what is the growth and on ready to cook popcorn? Was the second one also on ready to cook, or was it on ready to eat?
Also, what is our strategy to increase it?
So both the questions are on ready to cook popcorn. Is that correct?
Yes, ready to cook popcorn. Yes.
Okay, fine. Perfect. Good. So thank you. So Manoj, as I would have outlined earlier, and I'll try and give a little better perspective on it, if you will. Ready to cook popcorn is clearly the jewel in the portfolio, right? And the reason for that is that consumer loyalty in ready to cook categories is far greater than it is in ready to eat categories, right? Why is that? That is there because as a consumer, when I commit to buying a ready to cook product, and it could be popcorn or it could be noodles, I'm also committing that I'm going to take that product and I'm going to take it home, and then I'm going to invest my time and effort to cook that product. Ready to eat categories, conversely, don't have the same level of consumer loyalty, because the consumer can say, hey, I'm in the market, I'm buying this 5 rupee product, today I'll try this, tomorrow I'll try that. At 20 rupees, the loyalty is likely to be a little more, because you know the outlay is more, and at 50 rupees, the loyalty is likely to be even higher, right? Having said that, over the last probably 5 to 7 years that we've been working both these categories, ready-to-cook popcorn per se globally has not had the same growth rate as ready-to-eat popcorn, okay? The reason I think is primarily, and we believe, is primarily that ready-to-eat popcorn offers far more greater opportunities for innovation. Right, you can innovate to a very, very large extent. It's very easy to have savory, you can have sweet, you can have multiple variants, you can have multiple packaging formats. All those choices are possible for you. In ready-to-cook, on the other hand, the innovation, as I mentioned earlier, is a lot harder to deliver. That doesn't mean it doesn't happen, it's just that it's harder to deliver. That is the reason why I think globally, probably ready-to-eat popcorn, which probably didn't exist, or existed on a very limited basis 8-10 years ago, today is either equal to or larger than ready-to-cook popcorn. That was the reason why as a company we embarked on a journey at a time when ready-to-eat popcorn was not even known in India, and we started work on it about 5-6 years ago to say, hey, we need an infrastructure and a supply chain which is capable of delivering ready-to-eat popcorn, on which also we can do it profitably, right? So this is a choice that we made. We have said that we need our foods business to grow, right? And we need it to grow, and we were looking, yes, we will certainly get, you know, to that near-term objective that we have about 500 crores. We continue to grow like this, we'll get there. What is going to be the profile of that by segment? It could vary. It could vary over time. For example, peanut butter was only a 10 crore business some years ago. Today we're looking at 50, 60 crores. Maybe over this period of time it goes to 100 plus crores. So that could be a reasonable contributor. Broadly speaking, therefore, at this point in time, in our 500 crore near-term goal that we need for the foods business, there will be these current three categories that we are looking at, right? Which is ready-to-cook popcorn, bagged snacks, and peanut butter. In addition to that, you will certainly see us entering certainly two new categories in this period. When I say new categories, I don't mean new products or new variants. You will see us entering two new categories, right? And they should aid, but even the current business has the potential to grow to about 500 crores. We don't see any doubt in that. I think Vivek had asked a question earlier about capacity. We're doing about 200 crores of products today, and our capacities will be anywhere in the region of 400 to 500 crores. So, you know, his assessment of capacity utilization was reasonably accurate, right? So the mixture of this is what we are seeing today as the three primary components. Nothing is static. As we go forward, we will see new opportunities, and we will certainly capture those. Will therefore, to come back to your question on, will we see the growth of ready-to-cook popcorn as equal to these other two new categories? Probably not, That is evident, right? You don't have to ask me for that. You can see it in the numbers. This is a business that has been growing at single digit, right? 7-8%, and it's very much dependent on distribution expansion. So let's see how the future goes. As we're certainly growing, but it's not at an exponential 60-70% like some of the other categories that we're competing in. As we are able to deploy more resources in distribution, as we are able to make this product more available to consumers, certainly it will accentuate the growth rate. However, for that, the P&L also must allow us or enable us to be able to make those investments. We have done that last year. We've seen reasonable growth. And because remember, the 1% that we saw last year is, with a huge decline in the tax-exempt channel. So I think it's par for course. However, in the pecking order, right now as we see the growth percentages, the number one is going to be Bagsmax in terms of percentages. The number two right now is peanut butter, and the number three is ready to cook popcorn. And as we enter the new categories that we've talked about, and we'll tell you about them at the appropriate point in time, at that stage, that growth and that revenues will have to be incremental to, whatever we are doing today. Okay? So I think, Lata, we are at the end of the call now. Thank you, Manoj. Thank you. I hope I was able to address your queries. And Lata, over to you, I guess. Huh?
Thank you. So we can conclude with the call, right?
Yeah, that's right. I think it's time.
Would you like to give some closing remarks, sir?
No, I just want to say, okay, thank you, Lata. I just want to say thank all of you for taking the time out. We really appreciate it, and we hope we are able to answer all your questions to satisfaction. Wish you a great day and look forward to talking to you after 3 months. Cheers. Take care.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Anand Rathi Shares and Stock, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may disconnect your lines now.